Let's start about learning about Lumigators.
Okay, thank you very much, and hello everyone. I'm David Einhard. As you can tell from my t-shirt, I work on cutting-edge technology at Mozilla AI. Oh, I didn't change the t-shirt, sorry. Also, they kind of ruined my joke before because they were telling me, nice t-shirt, so I still hope that some of you didn't hear that part before. So another like things I want to give a shout out in advance. I kind of lied to you so you could join this talk. It should have been evaluating LLMs made simpler, but I hope it's still fine. I think evaluating is hard per se as a problem. What we are striving to do is to make it simpler and simpler. At some point, it will become actually simple. I hope we are already a good way through that. So this is our starting point. About 1 year ago, we started interviewing people from companies, research teams, and trying to get an idea about what their experience with large language model was. And we kind of found that it was aligned to our own experience. Just a few months before doing these interviews, we were participating to these new RIPS, fine-tuning, one GPU, 24 hours, one LLM contest. And the idea was for people to fine-tune a model using only one GPU for 24 hours at most. And they had to evaluate how their models went. And we used what was available in terms of academic benchmarks to evaluate these things. And first of all, it was a daunting job. We had to run on many different kind of models and architectures. We had to run evaluation that came kind of out of the box. And we had to rely on kind of standard data sets, which didn't really reflect what a very specific use case could have been for anyone. And so we decided to try and build something that would help users work on their own specific use cases in the simplest possible way. So our kind of user target is somebody who codes and works with AI and LLMs, but is not necessarily publishing on your RIPS. Like, there's plenty of people who just want to use models without having to develop models from scratch or fine-tune them even. There are plenty of models coming out which are already good enough for us to be used in some application. We just need to understand like which is the best one for our specific use case. And we also want to be aware about the fact that just trying all these models take a lot of time, and so we would like to make this step easier for everyone. So we're a lot of people. Right now, the actual contributors are just a dozen. It's great that we have some which are not in our team already. And we would like to make AI in general easier, more transparent, understand what is broken and possibly fix it. We are striving to also contribute back to the project that we are using. Also trying to avoid reinventing the wheel, so integrating existing tools when they are available. And finally, only building what is missing. So sometimes we do mistakes, we try and build something on our own, then find there's a very good project we can rely on, and then we move to that. And just try to use what's available in the ecosystem and give back to the ecosystem. So building Lumigator, this is the definition of what Lumigator, how we want Lumigator to be. So a platform that guides users through the process of selecting the right language model for their specific needs. It's very ambitious, and we are still on the path of building the final version. But there are already some key features which I think are worth sharing. So first one is kind of infrastructure agnostic. That is, it builds on a stack that can be ran on a single computer, on some laptops, on computers with or without GPUs. It can be built in a local cluster or directly in the cloud. It can be hybrid. It can be fully distributed. You can, you name it. It relies, again, on not just on existing tools, but also standards for interoperability. Just to give an example, the OpenAI API, which is a de facto standard for communication between large language models and tools who want to use those models, is something we rely on, so we can easily switch from somebody using OpenAI to somebody using a Llama file or any other kind of local model. We have built an API. This is how our system basically relies on. Over this API, we have built an SDK. And we have also built a UI so that users who want a more friendly interface can try and use it. We decided it to be extensible, not just by us, but by the community and for the community. So you might not have heard about Lumigator yet, so it's great that you're here today. But the project has been like publicly developed in the open since about 6 months ago. We just released an announcement of our, let's say, first MVP, the first version we thought it was worth really advertising somehow. And we would like the community to tell us how to grow, what is most important and useful for them, and possibly to contribute in any possible way and capability. We chose a very specific use case to get started with, because of course evaluating any model for any use case would have been too complicated to immediately provide something for people to test. And we focused on summarization as a specific use case. This is how the UI looks like. It kind of looks like many experiment tracking tools, but it's actually way easier than that. The main idea is you have two functionalities. You can upload a data set, and you can run experiments on these data sets. The fact that we kind of overfit on summarization for now allows us to already suggest you some models that we have tried for summarization, and we considered good ones, open source models. We also allow people to use existing APIs for closed models if they want to see how an open model compares to an existing API in case they are thinking about a transition from one technology to another. And we already provide a lot of parameters which are pre-chosen for how the model generally works well in the summarization use case that can, of course, be tuned if people want to delve deeper into this. And for this, we also allow people to directly access the API. I'm going to show it in a few slides, where you have a much more fine-grained possibility of choosing parameters. Finally, we show different models within the same experiment. We allow you to either delve deeper in a single model to do some vibe checks, evaluation, so see how the model translated compared to the ground truth that was available, and see a few performance metrics that are calculated. Again, given this is the summarization example, performance metrics are chosen specifically for that. So even if you don't know exactly which ones are used, you will find the ones that are pre-selected for your specific use case. Of course, you don't know what the number means exactly, and this is something we are working on right now. We have also provided some documentation to tell you how to tell apart one metric from another one and what it means for one metric to be higher or lower. You can also compare many models at the same time and see how they perform compared to each other. And also, we are starting to have some extra metrics that tell you something more to allow you to choose between one model or another. Maybe the model doesn't perform as well as a GPT, but I don't know, it takes only 240 megabytes, and so it's worth trying for your specific use case. Or it had a very much smaller runtime rather than another one. Some of them have a very low one because they are just APIs that we're hitting. You might have or not have a GPU, so it's worth knowing whether you can actually run it or not. This is a very high-level description of the architecture of our tool. We rely on a Ray cluster for computation. One of the advantages of kind of devoting a full Ray cluster that can actually run on your own laptop, don't think about a cluster as many computers doing the work for you, is that it automatically schedules your jobs. So you can really just tell it, I want to run evaluation on these models, and it will take care of enqueuing them one after the other, depending on the amount of resources you have available. Another nice thing, I saw people talking about models, which are LLMs or small LLMs, that are not necessarily Python models. So Ray cluster is agnostic of which kind of code you're running. What you are calling is basically a shell script. So when we call a Python script, we call Python, Python script name, minus minus config and the configuration. So if you have something that is not a classical Python model, you can still run it in this infrastructure. Of course, we have not written any plugin for that, but we can work together to make it true. Then there is the REST API. It's based on Fast API and surfaces the different functionalities that the software is able to perform right now. We have an SQL database, which right now tracks the main information about what is shared on the system. For instance, the data sets that you have made available and the experiments that you run. We're moving a lot of the information we were writing in the SQL database onto MLflow because we decided that to allow people who want to have a more granular way of tracking their own experiments, it's worth using a third-party tool instead of writing everything on our own. So coming back to one of the first slides, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. And this is how we are acting iteratively on our tool. And finally, we have an S3 object storage. You can think about AWS S3, but what we are actually deploying for custom personal use cases is MinIO-based S3 object store. So it can run on your computer. Again, the language it talks is the S3 API. So you can easily exchange it with another technology if you want. This is the web UI. You already saw it before. This is just another page. It's the data sets instead of the experiments. Once you start your system, and in our case, it's one command, make local app, after you have pulled the repository, you connect to localhost in your browser, and you access this API. Another thing you can do, you connect to loading, the REST API, and port 8000. You can see our fast API-based REST API. And you can already see that what the API makes available, sorry, I went out of the stream, what the API makes available is way more parameters that are usually available in the UI. So we're now navigating a trade-off between making many functionalities available and making the system actually simple for the user to use. So we are hiding a lot of these. And this is where you can come in telling us, I think it would be better if this was exposed in the UI instead of it's good to have it there, and just going to use it as an SDK or directly call the API. We then have the Ray backend, which is what I talked to you about. You can check the logs of the jobs that are running, understand better what's happening, but at least the essential part of this is already surfaced in the UI, so you don't have to use it to understand what's happening. And finally, as I told you before, the object store. In this case, you can connect again locally and see what data sets you have saved and what results you have generated by running our tool. Finally, we have the SDK. I couldn't really show you the SDK itself, so I'm showing you how we are using the SDK. We have made a test Jupyter notebook available that shows you how to use the SDK to programmatically call all the functionalities that we make available in our code. And here is also some documentation about how the different matrix work and how you can interpret the results from this specific evaluation. So the main decisions that we took about this tool were you should be able to plug in and out different kind of components to move stuff around. So first of all, you can have different classes of supported models. We are supporting Hugging Face Transformer models, APIs, again, OpenAPI is the first one, but there's also Mistral API, for instance, local models, the LLM, Llama files, OLAMA, everything which supports the OpenAI compatible APIs. Now, I know the question of the month is, well, before it was, can it run Doom? Now it's, can it run DeepSeek? So it couldn't run, like, what's a master cannot run DeepSeek? I changed one line in the configuration and I could run DeepSeek using OLAMA and a local served version of OLAMA on my laptop. So I can say it can run DeepSeek, I think. I'm going to send a PR so you can do it too. Different type of jobs. Again, you can customize the jobs that you run. Right now we have annotation, inference, evaluation, but you can also have composite jobs. You can choose to have a workflow that runs inference and evaluation all together so you can just submit everything at once and have the results at the very end. You can have different levels of access. Again, API, SDK, UI. And finally, different kind of deployments. As I told you before, some components can be not local. You can move them around as long as you have an IP address to point to. So what next? These are very high level, our next steps. We want to make our evaluation results easier to interpret. We want to add further matrix, so new ways to evaluate what we already have, that is summarization. And we want to expand our use cases, and translation is one of the following one, partially because it's kind of close to summarization in terms of analyzing language results with respect to ground truth, but also because we found it's a relevant use case. And with potential also collaborations with Firefox itself, who's running translations, and kind of work as a Ulysses Pact, you know, like we build the evaluation and we are also able to evaluate our own tools against others. So whenever we do a tool which is not as good as we expect, people can use this other tool to evaluate whether it works well or not. Thank you very much. So if you want to know more, there's a list of links which are available on these slides, which are available on Fastnet website. And if you want to contribute, I like to cite this power law of participation that I learned about in 2006 when I was doing my PhD. There's really no barrier to the entrance. In the last 24 hours, we got two pieces of feedback. One of them was, oh, I didn't know where to get a data set I could test this stuff on. And we realized we didn't provide any data set to play with. We only supposed people they already had their own or already knew what they could use for that. I know it's silly, but it happens. The other feedback I got was a PR of a one-word typo in the documentation. I'm the faulty one. I'm Italian, sorry. I'm not sorry for being Italian. I'm sorry. I'm very happy for being Italian. So it can really be nothing. And you just choose your level, everything is going to be super appreciated, especially if it's something that helps this grow more. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. Do I have questions? I'm not seeing any hands raised. Do we have questions in the chat? We don't have questions.
I anticipated all your questions. Oh, no, there's a question. Uh-huh, thank you.
Let me get you the mic.
Yes.
Can you throw it?
Well, it's not mine. They won't let me come to Fuzz anymore.
Hi, thank you. My question for the UI, why did you decide to display it in a list with all the different responses?
Like this one or the previous
one?
Yes,
this one.
This one. So this one is not useful to compare one model to another, but one thing we found, I mean, we all realize, is that when we actually run evaluation matrix, which is what you would expect in a very scientific approach, you just have the table, you see what's the biggest result and so on. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So look at this ground truth. This is the official ground truth provided in the DialogSum data set. This is like an academic data set. This is provided. It's a great summary. It's a one sentence summary. If I run an LLM on this, I can tell it, just keep it one sentence, but it might start giving different wording, a bigger sentence, and everything. If I'm fine with that short thing over there, the result I might get from an LLM might not be great. And so having also a chance to just see the individual examples, and for instance, sorting by every single evaluation metric and comparing the ground truth to what you actually get from the model, in our opinion, was a good way to always keep the user in control of what kind of mapping there is between what they perceive as good and what they get from the evaluation matrix.
Do I have more questions? No. Thank you. You're free to go.
Thanks a lot.